This is the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update.
We'd like to say that, in our opinion, it is not suitable for children or for those of you who may have a nervous disposition.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Annoying. Check. Abrasive. Check. Obnoxious. Check. Irritating. Check. Tell me again why you even listen to this guy. It's Jeremy Lunnon on the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update.
We're live. It's time to go. It's a special Taco Tuesday edition of the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update, and I'm happy to have you here. I'm your friend Jeremy, and we're going to talk about some rock and roll headlines. Kiss, specifically Gene Simmons in the news. You know, Kiss is like that recurring illness that just won't go away. And I mean that in the best way, right? You think you're over it, but then it comes back. Right? Maybe it's a nagging pain in your lower back. You think it's gone, then it comes back. Well, what are we talking about? Gene Simmons reared his head in a interview with Entertainment Tonight, and he vows that he will never wear makeup again. Now, there was this end of the road tour when we found out it really wasn't the end of the road. It was just the beginning of a new road. A new road, according to Paul Stanley, because they were going to live on in the cartoon universe or whatever you call it, the nerdverse, whatever. Avatars. But here's what Gene is doing. He's going on tour. He's the Gene Simmons Band. He's got a little side band, he calls it. And they're already booked to play some summer festivals or doing stuff. They're going to be playing alongside Sebastian Bach and Mr. Big. He says, no more makeup for me. But we're the luckiest people in the world. And I think he's talking about the band Kiss. They're the luckiest. They've been very successful. They've seen the world. They've been a part of the zeitgeist since the mid-70s. And love them or hate them, they have always been there, right? Their popularity has kind of ebbed and flowed, but they, since the mid-70s, Kiss has always been a part of our culture, a part of the music scene. And he says, hey, I'm going to continue to tour, going to continue to make music. I'm just never going to wear makeup again. So if you want to see Gene in makeup, I guess you got to wait for the avatars in like 4 years that you can pay money to see the cartoon versions of them. Good luck with that. I still say the Kiss avatars will never launch. I'm still predicting that. Because they're not, it's like not even supposed to happen until like 27. Is anyone going to care about Kiss avatars? Maybe they will. I don't know. We'll see. I'm just a little salty today because there are things that are just kind of annoying me in the headlines, like this Bon Scott biopic. Okay, turns out it's not a biopic at all. It's fiction. Okay, this is a fictionalized narrative. So let's just grab historical figures and let's just make up movies about them. Kind of like the Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Okay, this is the same type of thing. Let's take Bon Scott and we'll just make up a story about him. That's what's coming in this Bon Scott movie. They just flat out admit, oh yeah, it's fictionalized. We're just making it up. So, like, what's the point? And they got a dude playing Bon Scott that looks nothing like Bon Scott. Speaking of biopics, well, this isn't really a biopic. This is a documentary. There's a new documentary coming out about the Beach Boys. And, you know, the Beach Boys, you don't hear Beach Boys on your classic rock stations, but the Beach Boys were a very important band. Brian Wilson, you know, Pet Sounds is viewed as one of the great albums ever. So they're really, really classic rock. I mean, they're oldies, right? But I've always been a Beach Boys fan. And now there's a new documentary coming out directed by Frank Marshall and Tom Zimney, The Beach Boys. That's the name of the documentary. Catchy name. The Beach Boys chronicles the band's rise to fame through never before seen footage, plus interviews with Brian Wilson, Mike Love, Al Jardine, David Marks, Bruce Johnston, and more. Glenn Campbell famously was a member of the Beach Boys touring band. So that's something to look forward to in May, this documentary about the Beach Boys. And there's no indication here that it will be fictionalized. So hopefully that remains true. Juan Crucier. He's a bass player from Rat. We mentioned him yesterday, I think. He actually was in Dokken. If you go back, there's a cool live concert of Dokken where they're playing in this club in Germany. And it's a great video. It's pro shot. The quality's great. And this is, you know, they're playing the tunes that wound up being on Breaking the Chains, their first album with the Dokken moniker. And Juan is a member of Dokken. So he's in this video playing in Germany. And Jeff Pilson didn't come in till the next album. But Juan Crucier, he calls himself the other voice of Rat, has announced a series of shows where he will perform some of the band's classic songs. Now, so, and Bo Hill, the producer, he talks about this. Juan is a great singer. He does a lot of the background vocals. Did he do all of them? Actually, I think Bo Hill did a lot of the background vocals too. But Juan is a great singer, great background singer. And so if you see them live, you know, Juan is doing the background stuff. So he calls himself the other voice of Rat. But apparently on this tour with this solo band, he will be performing Rat songs. Here's the thing about someone else singing Rat songs. Stephen Piercy has a very, no one sounds like him. He has a very unique voice, kind of like an Ozzy. I'm not saying he sounds like Ozzy, but he's similar to Ozzy in that it's a very unique voice. That's a very big part of the sound. And even though Juan is a great singer, it will sound quite a bit different having him sing lead on these Stephen Piercy songs. It would be interesting to see. He's a great musician. I'm sure he's surrounded himself with great band members, but he's going out on the road. Now, Rat is one of these bands, kind of like Queensryche, where there have been kind of legal wranglings. There have been different versions of the band touring. Stephen Piercy has been touring with his band doing Rat stuff, which, you know, that makes total sense. He's the voice of Rat, right? For a while, Bobby Blotzer was even touring as like Bobby Blotzer's Rat or something. So he had a completely different singers and guitar players. And so there have been these different permutations of bands playing Rat music, but unfortunately, very limited shows where it's actually Rat. As in, when I say Rat, I'm talking the surviving members of Rat. Steven, Warren DeMartini, Juan. They had a 3 or 4 year period, which I thought was great. I think the album was Infestation, where they brought over Carlos Cavazo, who had been in Quiet Riot. I thought that was a great lineup. And I know when they came through my neck of the woods back in like 2017, 2018, that was the lineup. So you had everyone there except Robin, of course, who had passed away, and they had a different drummer. So Bobby Blotzer's kind of out of the picture. As far as I can tell, I'm basing this on what Steven has said. I don't think Warren is interested in doing any type of reunion thing. And maybe Juan wasn't either, because Steven got to a point where I was just tired of trying to talk guys into doing it. So he went and did his thing. Now Juan's doing his thing. Juan says this: I've had my own band and various incarnations of it for a very long time, probably in the neighborhood of 26 years plus. So now I'm in the planning stages to move my solo band forward. So we're starting to book dates. We're hoping to get some dates in the fall and just moving on. And, you know, he talks about the, you know, Rat was a pretty big deal in the 80s. They were one of the big bands of the 80s, and of the hair metal bands, they were definitely at the top of the heap, right? He said, it's one thing, you know, if Rat were to reunite and tour, they'd still draw big crowds. He says, obviously, this is my solo band. I don't have the name recognition of Rat and that sort of thing. I'm doing this because I love doing it. He's very realistic about it. He knows he's not going to make the money that he would with Rat, but he says, if I can make enough, you know, to pay the bills, to pay the band, you know, and at least break even, I'm going to do it because I love the music, right? But he also says he understands guys, and maybe he doesn't mention any names, but maybe this is a Warren DeMartini that's like, I understand guys that would rather just be home with their family. Yeah, I completely get that too. So it's one of those things. Some guys want to go out and tour, some don't. And, you know, Juan is to the point now, he's going to take his solo band out. They're going to tour. I think Steven's still touring with his band. So if you're a fan of rap music, you'll have a couple opportunities to hear rap music from a couple different bands. In a new interview with Mexico's Atmospheres magazine, Iron Maiden's Bruce Dickinson discussed the changes in the music industry over the last four decades. And there have been a number of things, and we'll weigh in on some of these. He says, quote, the music industry has done two things. On the one hand, if you're an artist, it's contracted, as in it's shrunk in terms of the amount of money you get paid for your art, unless you are some massive social media thing or whatever it is. Here's the line I like. Or unless you're a DJ who turns up with a memory stick and gets paid five times what a band gets paid. Guys, it's mind-boggling to me. These DJs that are up there playing their laptops, right? And there's a light show, and people fork out big money to go see a DJ. Those ain't musicians. Sorry. Sorry. And they're playing music. It's entertainment. I get that. But it's fascinating to me how DJs can make so much money. And here's I play in a dad band, right? Even at the local level, you know, people will call and say, hey, what will you guys play? And we do it for fun, right? We do it for fun. So it's like, you know, hey, we want your classic rock band to come play for this birthday party or anniversary party, retirement, whatever it is. Well, we do it for fun. $400? Sure, we'll come play for $400. And then you find out DJs, right? A guy who shows up with his laptop and a PA. You know, he's making like $800 to play songs on his laptop. I'm in the wrong business. It's fascinating to me that people are willing to shell out money for a guy and his memory stick. And he also says this, in terms of the way that records are sold, well, records, downloads, things like that, I think it's a lose-lose situation for everybody. I mean, you have all the things like Spotify and stuff who are basically ripping off musicians by paying them next to nothing for playing their work. But then in the very next line, he says, and still, Spotify can't make money. So they're not making money. and the musicians aren't getting paid. So if Spotify's not making money, you can hear my cat in the background. Probably that's my cat, Carl. Carl, where are you, dude? He's probably stuck somewhere. If Spotify and the streaming platforms aren't making money, are they really ripping off the art? I'm just trying to understand that, because I think I know what the problem is, and I'll get to that in just a sec. He says, and still Spotify can't make money. So they're not making money and the musicians aren't getting paid. New bands can hardly afford to start up, but they do. Why? Because they love what they do. It's that drives them. It's that motivates them. So if the streaming services could manage to actually pay people properly for when people listen, which probably means that people listening have to pay more, which I frankly don't object to, and I don't think probably most listeners would, maybe less people would listen, but it would be people who care, not people who just do it because it's cheap. Okay, so let's weigh in on this, because he's, and really the point of this was, where it was getting to was the astronomical costs of concert tickets. Yes, and that's exactly, Tucker, we're on the same line here. Tucker checking in says he also mentioned ticket prices. He wouldn't spend £1,200 to see U2. Okay, that's exactly what he says, or $1,200, whatever the case is. When U2 was at the Sphere, tickets were like $1,200. $1,200. Is there any band you would pay $1,200 to see? For me, that's an easy answer. Heck no. No. I'm going to see Def Leppard, and I think I'm paying $90. And that was like, I'm paying $90 to see Def, but that's cheap compared to a lot of the tours out there now. And that's really what this conversation was about, was the high cost of concert tickets. Well, if bands don't make money from streaming, what's left? And he talks about promoters. Promoters have tremendous risk involved when they put on a show. You got to pay so many people, right? If there weren't promoters, there wouldn't be concerts, right? And I know promoters often get, you know, thrown under the bus, and some of them are dirtbags, but the reality is the business is such that you gotta pay so many people. You know, if this were an economics class, we could talk about equilibrium and all of those concepts involved in economics. But can I say what the problem is? I don't know that I want to say it's the problem. It's just the reality. Here's where we have arrived. The genie is out of the bottle. And what's the genie? The genie is the internet. The genie is the ability to stream music. And we as a music buying public have determined this is what we're willing to pay for music. And it ain't very much, right? When's the last time you bought physical music, like a CD? Or do you still buy CDs? How do you buy? I mean, you can go buy vinyl. Okay. Most people stream. Now, how many of you, and these are rhetorical questions, right? How many of you actually pay for your Spotify, like Spotify Premium or whatever? I use Spotify. I have Spotify Premium. So I pay my whatever, I don't know, $12 a month, 50, I don't know how much it is. I don't even notice. But I pay that. What percentage of folks on Spotify are actually paying it, or are they just streaming? You know, if you don't do the premium, you can't really pick, you know, if you got a premium package, you can listen to whatever you want, just like having your own album collection. To me, it's worth it. Bruce says if people would just pay more, then maybe that would help. And it might, but I think he's right. A lot of people would say, I'm willing to pay $12 a month. I ain't going to pay $30 a month. Some of us might. But the reason we are where we are is because, you know, the genie's out of the bottle. The internet's here. We can stream. That's a much quicker, faster, cheaper way to do it. And we like it cheap. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means to music artists. Cause yeah, they don't make hardly anything from streaming. Yet that's the way the public prefers to buy their music. Okay. Tucker has an interesting point here. Let's see. 2 points. He says, I paid 179. I think that's pounds or is that euros? I'm not sure. Tucker, he paid 179 for AC/DC at Wembley Stadium, but those tickets have now doubled in price. Okay. That seems like a pretty good deal to me. And then Tucker also says, I'm going back to records, bought a player for those records, are now triple. I think he means triple what they were in the 80s. So yeah. And I do the same, but here's the thing. And I've talked about this before. Because we talk about how, hey, if you really want to support your artist, go buy vinyl, go buy the record, buy the physical media, right? Yes, that is true. If you go and buy a new CD or a new LP of the artist, they will make more money off of that. But that's the only money they make, right? You've paid $29 for that LP. And when I was a kid, LPs were $6 to $8, right? That's what I paid for brand new LPs, and now they're 30. But that's all they make, right? If I stream, I'm playing the new Judas Priest album, Invincible Shield, over and over and over and over. Yeah, I'd have to play it a lot to equal the amount of money they would make if I bought the album. But at some point, they probably would make more for me if I play that album enough. Right. So at least with the streaming, it's a constant stream, but it's a tough place for artists. And it is what it is. The market dictates the price and the profit. If we as music listeners aren't willing to pay more, we won't. And so, yeah, Bruce might be right. Maybe they could jack up the price for streaming and pay more to the artists. But I don't know. That's kind of where we are. But he brings up some interesting things. He says, there is no way I'd pay $1,200 to you to see you two. And I wouldn't either. And I love you too. No way I'd pay. I wouldn't pay $1,200 to see Iron Maiden or Priest. I'd pay $100. And the same could be said about streaming. You know, I'll pay $12 or $15 a month for my Spotify premium. Would I pay $30? I don't know. There's a point there, and maybe we haven't explored that point completely or figured out what it is completely. Dave is stopping by. Dave says Minnesota has snow today. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing, Dave? I don't know. Thanks for stopping by, Dave. And then Chris says, LPs are so much better. I tend to agree. There's something about, and maybe it's just us old guys, right? There's something about, you know, you got this big, big thing you hold in your hands, right? You open it up. You got liner notes. You got all the stuff. There's a tactile experience associated with an LP. That you don't get when you're just streaming. Where do most of us listen to our music? For me, it's in my car when I'm streaming. But when I listen at home, I have a nice turntable. I put my records on. You hear the... It's a warmer sound. Yeah, I prefer vinyl also on many different levels. Tucker says, I wouldn't pay 30 pounds to stream, but probably would on LPs. Okay. I probably agree with that. I probably agree with that. So Bruce brings up some good points. And this is something we talk about a lot because it's a consistent thread, right? This idea that artists don't make enough. And yet Bruce even points out the streaming platforms don't make enough. The problem is us. And what do I mean by that? Markets are markets, guys. The market dictates what, you know, how profitable something will be. I mean, and we have shown as consumers that, hey, here's what we like to buy it this way. And as long as companies keep selling it that way, I mean, it's not going to change. I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong. That's just the way it is. Just the way it is. Okay, I have a great email here. By the way, you can email me at classicguitarrock@mail.com. That's classicguitarrock@mail.com. Dave says, live music. I would rather go see a bad band live. Because I love live music. I do. I would rather go see a bad band live than stream. I mean, I would. Because I love live music. And probably because I play in a bad band. That's probably why. Anyways, hey, let me get to this email. This is fun. This is going to be a great conversation. It says, hey, Jeremy, I've actually been following you on your YouTube channel for quite a while. And just recently started watching your daily updates. I do have a YouTube channel. It's the worst YouTube channel on YouTube. And I invite you to check it out. Two things. One, I just did it. Two things. One, you are always dismissive of your YouTube channel and your guitar lessons. But I have found dozens of your guitar lessons super helpful, especially your Billy Gibbons lesson and the lesson on Eddie Money's I Think I'm in Love. Okay, well, great. I am dismissive of my YouTube channel because I am riddled with ADD. I don't have the focus to do what I need to make a good YouTube channel. So the production elements aren't there. I mean, it's low budget, super low, but kind of like this, right? Super low budget. But I'm glad that you found those lessons helpful. So if you want to check out some of my guitar lessons, please do. Apparently it helped at least one person. His second point. As a fledgling guitarist, I've been a fledgling guitarist for about 15 years, LOL, I can relate. Can you tell me the difference between a guitar riff and a guitar lick? Are they just the same thing or is there an actual difference? Keep rocking. Sam. Sam, thank you so much for the email. All of you can email me. Please do. classicguitarrock@mail.com. The difference between a riff and a lick, because they are kind of used interchangeably. So here's how I would define a riff. A riff is a guitar figure or a guitar part that is actually part of the song. Maybe that's not the best way, it's because a lick is part. But what I mean is, let me think of an example. Okay, Iron Man. Okay, Iron Man. Okay, that is part of the song. Okay, you hear that and you know that it's Iron Man. Okay, the riff is part of the song and it's generally played several times throughout the song. Okay, what are other famous riffs? Walk This Way. So Tucker says, now Tucker, let's talk about this, because Tucker said power chords or open chords. So can a riff be chords? Absolutely. A riff can be chords. A riff can also be single notes. The example I just used, Walk This Way, single notes, right? But that's definitely a riff. Okay. Smoke on the Water. Those are chords, power chords, basically, but that is a riff. It is a guitar figure that's kind of repeated and is part of the song. Now, what is a lick? A lick is typically a, think of a guitar solo, right? There might be phrases that are played in that solo, you know, right? Those are licks. Now, licks, they can be repeated also, but the difference is, to my mind, the riff is actually part of the song, and often the riff is, I mean, it's what maybe intros the song. It's just part of the song. And there's so many songs that have great riffs. Crazy Train. That's a riff. Okay. Bark at the Moon. You know, that's a riff. It's a musical figure, a guitar figure that is part of the song, where a lick is simply a little melodic snippet or a phrase. Could be within a solo. It could be thrown in between a verse or whatever, and not necessarily a riff. Does that make sense? I mean, to me, that's how I would phrase it, right? Dave says, play good music on your own musical instrument. I play one note at a time on my flute. All right. But that's how I would define a riff and a lick. Okay. A riff is actually it's a part of the song, right? Tony Iommi is known. He's the riff master, right? And then you got guys that are known for playing great licks. Ritchie Blackmore. Of course, Blackmore had some great riffs too, but he's a soloist and he played these flashy, cool solos. Eddie Van Halen, same way. He had some great riffs, also some great licks. So technically they are different, right? The riff is actually part of the song. It typically repeats throughout the song, where a lick might be a musical phrase or expression or series of notes as part of the solo or somewhere in the song that's not necessarily, I mean, obviously it's part of the song, it's in the song, but you know, hopefully I'm making sense here. But that's how I would define a riff and a lick. What do you guys think? Let me know. Did I define that correctly or am I wrong about that? Shoot me an email. Let me know. ClassicGuitarRock@mail.com. Thank you so much, those of you that chimed in live today. And thank you, Sam, for your email. I'd love to hear from any of you. And we'll do this all again tomorrow on the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update. Take care. Live long and prosper, guys. Bye-bye.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Thanks for listening. You can email Jeremy at ClassicGuitarRock@mail.com.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Tune in each weekday for the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update.